May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading from Mark chapter 1, especially the words of Jesus. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. You may be seated. Dear saints, Christianity is pretty simple, really. There's fundamentally not a whole lot to it. Jesus himself tells us what is at the heart of the Christian faith, the heart of the Christian belief system. He tells us, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. That's it. Repent and believe in the gospel. Simple. Nothing to it, really. Return to the Lord with repentant hearts and believe his gospel. Why then does our faith seem to be such a challenge for us? Why then do we try to add things to the faith and remove other things? There must be something that we don't like about this simplicity. But what? What obstacles get in our way from relying on these simple words of our Lord? The first obstacle, I think, is found in Jesus' words, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand." The kingdom of God has come, but not in a flashy, spectacular, mind-blowing sort of way. It has come in a person, the person of Jesus. When Jesus says the kingdom of God is at hand, those who first heard him say it could literally reach out their hand and touch the kingdom of God. It's Jesus. There's the kingdom of God. As our hymn, as we just sang in our hymn, "Ask ye who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there's none other God." In his person, the fullness of God dwells. Where God is, there is his kingdom. This understanding of God can be a challenge for us. We humans tend to want something more exciting. Perhaps we would like to witness firsthand some of those miracles that Jesus did, that the disciples got to see. Maybe a little bit of that transfiguration glory that we heard about last week. Instead, we get a man, a lowly man at that, the man Jesus Christ, born in a stable in a humble town to humble parents. Behold your king and your God. But those aren't the only challenging words for us. Jesus goes on to say, repent and believe in the gospel. Pretty simple words. But as we know, we don't like to repent. We don't want to admit our own faults or our guilt to other people, much less to God. Oh, with other people, maybe we can lie our way out of what we've done. We might be able to deceive others for a while, or we might even be able to convince ourselves that we are guiltless, that our actions are justified somehow. Perhaps we think it's even easier with God, after all. He's far away. Maybe he won't notice that one little misdeed. God knows we're not perfect. The writer of Proverbs tells us, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." God's standard for us is perfect holiness, a standard we don't measure up to. Jesus' directive to each of us, then, is simple and direct. Repent. There is no one to blame for our sins of thought, word, and deed other than ourselves. Oh, we can blame other people. We can blame a corrupt world. We can blame our upbringing or our circumstances, but Jesus doesn't tell us to do any of those things. Instead, he simply says, repent. Our gospel reading tells us that Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights being tempted by Satan, yet we know he was without sin. Satan couldn't convince Jesus to sin even in those 40 days, and it probably doesn't take Satan 40 seconds to tempt us to turn to committing some sin or another. So repent. Turn from your sin and return to the Lord. In the Old Testament, the people of God would show their repentance by wearing sackcloth on their bodies and putting ashes on themselves. Now, sackcloth is made from goat's hair and would have made for pretty uncomfortable clothing. Ashes symbolize desolation and ruin. Think of a city being burned to the ground and there's nothing left but dust and ashes. This was an outward sign that the people realized the state of their inner selves. Such a symbol made one's repentant heart visible and demonstrated the sincerity of their repentance. It was not the act of putting on sackcloth and ashes that made them pleasing to God, but the action demonstrates humility. God's forgiveness in response to repentance is celebrated by David in the words of Psalm 30. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Thus, we put ashes on our foreheads at the beginning of Lent in the recognition that we too are called to repent. In our sinfulness, we are worthy only of God's wrath. We come before him with nothing to offer, but in repentance, we plead for his forgiveness. Which leads us to consider Jesus' final instruction to us: believe in the gospel. But what about this believing in the gospel? A first question might be good to answer: what is the gospel? A little story. Every man, before they are admitted to one of our seminaries, has to appear before a group of pastors from the district, and usually one of the district vice presidents as well, for a little interview. They ask questions about the family, about why you want to be a pastor, and so forth. And they ask a few theological questions as well. One of the questions they asked me was seemingly pretty simple. They asked me, "What is the gospel?" I don't remember exactly what I said, but I do remember that it was a much more long-winded response than it needed to be. I was probably trying to sound smart or something. I know I had the essence of the gospel in my words. Somewhere buried in there was the gospel, but after I answered, one of the pastors said to me, "Here's the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." That's the gospel. It's simple, but it's profound. Believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus on the cross died, atoning for our sins, paying for them, paying the penalty for us, and that he rose again on Easter, and he gives us that victory over sin and death and Satan. We are to believe that he gives us that salvation in our baptisms. We are to believe that he strengthens that faith when we hear the words, "I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," and in his body and blood from the altar with the words, "Given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." All the riches of God's kingdom are given to us, not earned by us, not deserved by us, but given to us and all believers in Jesus for his sake. But it's hard for us to believe that sometimes. The good news, this good news, should bring constant joy into our hearts, and yet we sometimes struggle to believe it. In the midst of difficulty or tragedy or death, it's hard to believe that God loves us. It's hard to believe that he has our best interest in mind. For we look for a gospel of glory. We expect us believers to be successful in this world, or everything to go well or something, but that's not the way of the cross. That's not the way Jesus' life was, and it won't be the way our lives are either. There are other barriers to the faith. On the one hand, Maybe you're the independent type. You might think you don't really need anyone's help, just going to do it yourself. You got yourself into your own mess of sin, and you can get yourself out of it. Spiritually, that's a very dangerous position. As Luther reminds us, with might of ours cannot be done, soon were our loss effected. But for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. Our need for daily repentance is proof positive that we can't pull ourselves up by our spiritual bootstraps. All the good deeds we could muster in a lifetime would not begin to pay the debt of sin that we owe. We cannot handle our sinfulness on our own. We need Jesus to do it for us. And he did. And he does. Or you may face the opposite problem, believing that you are not forgivable. You may think you've committed some sin so grievous or lived a life so apart from God that the forgiveness God declares isn't for you. This is the voice of Satan, not of your Lord. Satan loves to recall past sins to you, but your sin is forgiven, no matter what it is. The Lord forgave the grumbling Israelites in the wilderness. The Lord forgave King David, who slept with another man's wife and had that man killed in battle. The Lord forgives you as well. This is the gospel. Believe in it. Christianity really is fairly simple, I suppose. Repent and believe in the gospel. And Lent is a time for repentance, a time for reflecting on the wounds that Jesus suffered on our behalf, a time for remembering what the gospel cost, not what it cost you, but what it cost him. His life for your life, that you may live forever. Repent and believe in the gospel. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.